we better not get too far from the cross. And he's the only one can carry you to the cross. He's the only one that can carry you back to the cross. He's the only one that can keep you around the cross. And I appreciate so much the spirit of that song. I've been wondering for a number of years, and I preach a lot of revivals across the country, what has happened in a lot of our churches? What has become a formality, a form, a tradition, rather than a thirst? Have you ever been real thirsty? I mean, to the point that you didn't think you could make it any further. I've read stories of men that had encountered thirst. It's a scientific fact that a person can make it possibly 10 to 11 days without water. I believe God at times in our Christian experience allows us to go through thirst, if for no other reason, to make us appreciate the water. Now, what I'm preaching out of this morning is called a Bible. I know most Baptists today don't even pick it up. A lot of them don't even bring it to church. Lord God, I don't know what some Baptists would do without the screen. But the Bible is depicted as water. And the thirst is given by God alone. God will give you the desires of your heart. And when he gives you the desires of your heart, he will implant inside your being a thirst for the water of the word. Now, I'm not saying what I'm fixing to say bragging. I'm saying it because it's a fact. When God called me to preach the gospel, 1971, a lot of you weren't even born then. But immediately he planted inside my soul a hunger and a thirst and a desire. I was pastoring in Houma, Louisiana, and a young lady came to the altar, and I dealt with her at the altar, and she looked up with tears streaming down her face, and she said, "Preacher, I want to be filled with the Spirit." And I said, "Well, amen." And I got up and left her there. Now, I can't feel nobody. And she came back to the altar the next service, tears streaming down her face, "Preacher, I want to be filled with the Spirit." I said, "Amen." I got up and left her. And one morning as I was sitting in my study, the phone rang and her husband said, "Preacher, can we come see you? We haven't slept all night." I tell you what, if there's one in the family that's hungering and thirsting, the other is not going to sleep either. Hello? I said, "Sure, I'm here in the office." And so he and his wife came into the office. They sat down in two chairs there in front of my desk. And unbeknown to this lady, behind her was the answer pinned on my wall in the study that the Holy Spirit had led me to put up there months ago. And I glanced and saw it because I was looking at them. And her name was Verily. It's a Cajun name. And tears started rolling down her face again, flowing. And out of her being, she said, "Preacher, I'm begging God, I'm asking God to fill me with His Spirit." And I said, "Well, now, are you wanting me to give you the answer?" She said, "Yes, sir, please." I said, "Well, I just recognize the answer. And I wasn't going to say anything to you until I knew I could say something to you. And no need of speaking if you hadn't got something to say. Amen?" And I said, "Turn around and read the sign on the wall." And Verily turned in that chair, and it said, "He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled." And folks, when she turned back, tears still running down her face, but a smile had broken out over her being, and the light had come on, and the blessed Holy Ghost of God had shown her the answer. She got out on her face right there in my office and was filled with the Spirit. I was out in Houston, Texas this past August. As a matter of fact, I left here on Friday, the 5th of August, and the first church I preached in on that Sunday morning, yesterday I got word that the pastor dropped dead of a heart attack. I had only met him for the first time as I was on the journey. And stayed out on the road basically for 2 months. But while out there in Houston, a young man from Terre Haute, Indiana, come to me. And I don't know why he came to me. Well, no, he didn't come to me. His granddaddy pointed and motioned for me to come to the altar. Large church, 700-800 people there. And he said, "Preacher, can you pray with my grandson?" I said, "Sure." I had no idea what about, and I knelt down there by him, and he looked up, and tears streaming down his face. He said, "Preacher Marty, I want God to fill me with His Spirit." I said, "Amen. Was you any help, Brother Marty?" "Not really. But the Holy Ghost was." And he laid there on that floor prostrate in that large church, and people no doubt standing there wondering what in the world is wrong with him. Well, I tell you one thing, it's about to get fixed. Now, this is a saved person. This is a person that had been born again. This is a person that knew Christ in the free pardon of sin. But he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And God had started putting. I preached that Sunday night in that church on the man that stayed the closest to Jesus in the Bible. And God was taking the preaching of the Word of God, the water of the Word of God, and putting a hunger in his heart, which not only became, did you know thirst is a hunger? It's the deepest hunger you can have. And not only did he put that hunger, but he put that thirst of that hunger down in his soul. And God filled him with the Holy Spirit of God. He was a youth director there at Terre Haute, Indiana. I'll be going up there next year to preach a meeting. And boy, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. He wasn't going hostile, shunned on, tied a bow tie. He was speaking where you could understand him. But boy, God filled him with the Holy Ghost of God. His brother, Caleb, was outdoors on guard duty because those people out in Houston will crawl over the fence, steal everything in the car. If they get the car over the fence, they'll take it too. And when he found out that his brother had been filled with the Spirit of God, he come to me as if I was the one that was responsible for that and said, "Brother Marty, I hated it. I missed the service." And I said, "Boy, it's a good service, good preaching, good singing, good way." He said, "No, that ain't what I hated. I'm hungry too." I said, "Well, Caleb, the one that did the same for your brother will do the same for you. But you got to have that thirst." What Brother Paul was singing about last Sunday morning, I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid a lot of folk in here didn't get it. I'm afraid a lot of folk in here didn't understand it. I've seen Brother Slim stand up twice since I've known him in services. And it wasn't Slim that was talking as much as it was the satisfaction of a hunger and a thirst. And it, I don't know about you, I can't speak for you, but boy, it blessed. You see, you're not sad. It'll lift him up in pride. He's too old. He said that, and I sat there in my pew and I said, "Thank you, Lord. I agree with what Slim had to say last Sunday morning." Folk, I don't know if you realize it or not, but last Sunday morning, our church spiritually started getting up to a place again about like that, to where revival can break out. I don't know when the pastor's going to feel impressed to have an evangelist. He told me, he said, "Brother Marty, I believe I'm going to have this man back." That's all he said to me. But I, if he has him, or when God brings revival. Little Anthony this morning asked me, he said, "Brother Marty, what is revival?" You know, I would to God, all of us would get hungry after asking a question, "What is revival?" Wouldn't you hate to live and be a member of a Baptist church all your life and never experience a real old-time Holy Ghost-sent revival? Have you ever been in a revival? Did you know a reviving never comes without there be a hunger and a thirst after righteousness? I want that to sink in. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, "If the stars from heaven fall, don't matter, do right." The wrong with us is we need to do right. Until we go to doing right, there'll be no righteousness. And until that person gets a hunger and a thirst after the righteousness of God, will there be a filling of the Holy Spirit for the work of God. Did you know if every person that's a member of Grace Baptist Church were to experience the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, it'd be like measles. There would break out in the midst of this congregation the very thing that, Slim, you stood up and expressed from your spirit in just a short few words. But who in here did not feel that? Who in here did not realize something from his heart touching your heart? And that's the way the Holy Ghost goes to working. And it wasn't the man Paul that was here preaching that did that. It's the Holy Ghost through the thirst, through the water that quenches the thirst and takes care of the hunger. Did you know if you had no bread, you could make it on water? I've fasted before, water only, to see God give an answer of something that I wanted to see him answer. Nobody knew I was fasting until the fast was over. But God honors a fast. And a fast will get you thirsty for righteousness. It'll get you beyond wanting food. So that's what my interest is in. And I wanted to lay a foundation on that. My text is found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. While you're turning, Brother Frank has been going through serious problems with his back, so much so that he can't hardly get out of bed. Well, Friday night, he was rear-ended. It didn't do that much damage to his truck. It bent the bumper kind of under, and the Toyota that ran into the rear end of him hit that trailer hitch and tore the Toyota all to pieces. But now imagine with back trouble and then a whiplash on top of it. So I know you'll be praying that our pastor can get some relief from a doctor. And there are some in here that have gotten relief from their doctor through something I'm not familiar with. I think it's called a block shot. Is that it, Rachel? And so Brother Frank's going to be checking into that, but I know you'll be praying. Revelation 22:17. I'll not keep you long, but I sure am going to obey the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. No need to put the bride in there if the Spirit's not there. The bride cannot say come without the aid of the Spirit. So the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. I don't know how many last Sunday morning, deep down in your soul, were saying, come, Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about return to the earth, return to my soul. Come, Lord Jesus. Do something for me. Give me a taste of something. And let him that is athirst. Is there anybody in here this morning getting thirsty? Have you ever been so thirsty that you didn't want anything to eat until you got that one thing that was causing you to thirst for? He said, if that one that's athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, I don't know how much you study your Bible. I don't know how much you read your Bible. I don't even know if you got a Bible. But if you don't, you're a member of this church, you ought to be ashamed. As a matter of fact, if you do not pick up your Bible from Sunday to Sunday and study that Bible, you're not right with God. You don't even understand the meaning of the word thirst. I could stand here for an hour and explain all about that, and you'd leave here the same as you were when you come in, unless God did something to you. I mean, it's tragic that in our day we wonder why people are going to hell. And most Baptists don't even carry a Bible, don't even open the Bible, don't even read the Bible, don't even drink the water of life freely. These people that I go to in Egypt that have to undercoverly study that Bible, get their hands on that Bible, get their hands on a piece of the Bible, because they're thirsting after righteousness. And here you got it right in front of you. You can go in General Dollar Store and buy a Bible, I guess. I know you can buy one in Walmart. We've got Bibles everywhere in America, and America's going to hell. Whosoever will, before this ever happens, there has to be a God-given thirst. And in other words, it's given from him. Dawson, you can't work up that thirst yourself. Do you know what you're responsible to do, son? You're 19, 18, 19? Do you know what you're responsible to do? read the word. The Bible promises us if we'll read the word, then the Holy Ghost, when we're reading the word, can start bringing that word to life. And in so doing, he speaks to you from the word. The Lord told me, if it's not Bible, it wasn't him, it's a devil. The Lord doesn't speak to you other than through his word. And any time God's ever spoke to you, you can back it up with Bible. If you don't have Bible to back it up, that's a devil talking to you. And the average Baptist wouldn't know God in a 40-acre field with a name tag on. And so God is dealing with our hearts this morning because he has enlarged upon this word thirst. Tip and I went fishing Friday. And the first thing Tip said to me when he came to pick me up and I got in the truck, and he said, you bring some water with you? And I said, yeah. And I had the bottle, and I didn't pay any attention. Just reached in the refrigerator and grabbed the bottle. And when I got in the truck, it had about that much in it. And Tip just shook his head at me. He has a gallon. There's nothing going to quench your thirst like water. You can drink a gallon of milk and still be thirsty. I know people drink a keg of beer and still be thirsty. Nothing will quench your thirst like water. Are you listening to me? Have you ever got down so close that you cried out, Lord, give me water. Give me this water. I need this water. You see, there's 66 books in the Bible. Do you know why there are 66 books? See, back when the King James translators translated the Bible into English, they added the Apocrypha. And in so doing, they thought they were doing right, but later the Holy Spirit dealt with them, undoubtedly because they didn't ask him. And they removed the Apocrypha later. God wanted 66 books. You know why? In the tabernacle, on that table, was the showbread. And there were 6 loaves of showbread laying on that table, and 6 loaves of showbread laying on that table. If you were to add 6 and 6, what would you come up with new math? What does 6 and 6 add up to? One of you students, tell me. Huh? 12. Say it louder, Shug. 12! 6 and 6 is 12. That's new math. Well, we understand there were 12 tribes. But the spiritual side of 6 and 6 is 66 books of the bread of life, of the free flowing water. God gave you 66 wells of water. I ain't going to have time to get into some depths that I was wanting to get in, or I thought I was going to get in, but the Holy Ghost said, move on. I said, yes, sir. Now, I want to carry you to the first mentioned principle. Anytime you find a first mentioned principle in hermeneutics, in Bible college, they taught us that this principle will never break down. If you can understand the hermeneutical principle, then I don't care where you run across it in your Bible, it still has the basic seedbed planted meaning. Exodus 17:3. And the people thirsted there. God will bring you to the place he wants to get you to and get you to thirsting. He knows how to get you to thirsting. He knows how to allow this to take place in your life and that problem to arise and this to come up. God will get you there so God can get you thirsted. If you're happy and satisfied with a mundane religion, you can come in here on Sunday morning and give God your little hour and get mad if I don't stop in time for you to get out. And go to your little place and spend the rest of your week doing whatever you do. And then hopefully, if you have time or something doesn't interfere, drop back in here next Sunday. You think that's going to make God happy? No! The God of this Bible will get you to the place. There! He'll get you thirsty. People are laying in the hospital today that are thirsty. People are laying in rest homes today that are thirsty. I have a sister, my only sister, 78 years old, laying in a nursing home in Greenville, South Carolina. Been there 15 years and can't even get out of the bed. You teenagers can't get up before 1 o'clock on Saturday. How'd you like to lay there for 15 years? What's God done? When it first happened, Darrell, my sister wasn't one you could talk to. I like to get out amongst y'all. I feel isolated up there. She and I didn't get along. Say, I was a Baptist preacher. I'm the black sheep of the family. We was all raised in the Methodist church. I got saved. Amen. I got a lost brother lives in Durham, North Carolina. He and I can't get along because he was taught this and that. Doesn't even believe in hell. Said on Dr. Altizer, the theory, God is dead. God is dead to that crowd. Anybody doesn't know God, he's dead to them. If you know God, it's life. More abundantly. God got her there. God got her to her Rephidim. You have a Rephidim that God will get you to so he can there and see. Rephidim means a dry, dreary place. No water. A desert. And God knows how to get you to that place. And when God gets you to that place, he gets you thirsty. That's right. Now he'll get you thirsty after the right thing, not the wrong thing. He'll get you thirsty after righteousness. And when God can do that, he can fill you and you'll be a new creature. You'll be a different creature. That's right. Old things will pass away and behold, all things will come new. And I watched in the 15-year period, my sister who cannot move nothing about her body on this side. And I went in there the other day as I came back down through from North Carolina to South Carolina, and I went in, and she saw me, and big smile come over her face. Hey, brother. I said, hey, sweetie, I got you a bag of Snickers. She was tired of Kit Kats. I've been carrying Kit Kats for the last two times through. This time she said, please, please, I'm fed up with Kit Kat. I want Snickers. So I brought her three big old bags from Walmart, Snickers. She was eating her breakfast, and I said, you want me to put them in? She said, no. Open one bag and hand me a Snicker. And you see, she only has one hand she can use. And I opened that Snicker up, and she started delving into that. Hey, them eggs and those grits and that bacon. She was thirsty for a Snicker. I had talked to her as I was heading up through that way, and I said, I'll be coming back through in a week or so. And she said, well, bring me some Snickers. Why is her spirit so different now? God got her to her Rephidim. She's not the same person that went in there 15 years ago. And now I can pray with her and we can talk about the Lord. And she is a happy camper. You cannot go in there and cheer her up. She'll cheer you up. Are you listening to me? God brought her to her Rephidim, and at her Rephidim, it ceased to be a desert. It ceased to be. Why does some Baptists come in? I don't even understand why some of y'all come to church on Sunday. You don't do deadly squat. The hardest work you do is getting in the door and sitting down, getting up and leaving. I'm serious. Why do you come? You don't go to the graveyard to die? No, you're not getting that. I can understand that. Huh? Rephidim. Now watch. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured there. I don't know if there's anybody. Surely we don't have. No, Brother Martin, no, don't waste time saying. I'm going to. It's coming up. Surely there's no members of Grace Baptist Church that murmur against Brother Frank. Lord, no. Ain't no way that anybody in here would murmur against Moses Jr. Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt? You brought us here to kill us, and our children and our cattle with thirst. Many people in local Baptist churches today are dying for the same reason these people were dying. I wish I had the time to really deal with all this, but I'm going to hurry through it. Exodus 17:1-2, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of sin. You see, you've got to take that first step from sin. I taught in the Sunday school class this morning and Cole's class, forgetting those things which are behind. You'll never go forward till you can forget what's behind. Most people live in the past, and that won't last. You cannot get ahead when you're in the past. And you got to leave your wilderness of sin. You got a wilderness of sin if you're in Rephidim. You're dry. You're dead. You're weary. You're bleak. You can blame it on anybody you want to. But standing in front of the mirror for about 5 seconds one day and say, there's a bird I'm looking at. You're the one causing me my problems. You're the one that's got me in this dry condition. I'm thirsty and I need it. Now, after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, God commanded to get them where God wanted to get them so he could pitch them in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? I don't make water. You think I'm the one that supplies the water? You got another thought coming. We have left Grace Baptist Church and we're going to another church because we're getting fed there. Liar. You say, Brother Mar, they're not here. Well, you tell them I said so. They wouldn't know God in a fortnight. Why doesn't have said that? Wherefore you tempt the Lord. It was him who brought you to this place at this time in your life. See, Rephidim is not a geographic situation for you to think about. It's a profound inquiry in spiritual matters. How far have you advanced spiritually in your being? Are you still at Rephidim? Are you still at a dry desert place? God places us at Rephidim to get us thirsty. Are there streams in your desert? David called it a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. While the New Testament holds thousands of spiritual streams filled with living water for a thirsty soul to drink from. Many sit in a bleak, dry, dead place in their life, even attending church on Sunday morning, and never experience the filling of the Spirit of God. I'm doing a study right now and posting it on Facebook. You're welcome to copy and use it if you want to. And when I get done with it, I'll be glad to get the copies and give it to you. Soterology. Somebody mentioned the word, it might have been Brother Frank last Wednesday night, but it really prompted my spirit. And I'm dealing with what is soterology. And I'm dealing with soterology 101. And I think I've already got 8 posts on Facebook. And you'll stir up somebody if you deal with something straight. If you don't beat around the bush, just tell it like it is, what the Bible says about it. You'll stir somebody up. I don't like to do that, but it happens. It's against my nature. I want to give you three simple thoughts and I'll be done. I've got 15 minutes, 5 minutes apiece. Water is typical of the word because of its attraction. Now, there are a lot of things that can get your attention for a little bit, but if you ever get thirsty, your attention will be on water. I've seen little children that were not fortunate to be born in America drink muddy water because it was water. But there's an attraction to water, which is the Word of God. I've stood at Caesarea Philippi and seen where the fountains break forth out of the rocks. It's called from Dan to Beersheba. From Dan, where the water starts and God forms from three springs, three fountains, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the Jordan River, and brings the Jordan River down through what used to be Lake Hula, which is no more, which is a type of the flesh. And once the Jordan River flows through an individual's life, God brings them into the Sea of Galilee, which is a type of the church. And at the lower end of the Sea of Galilee, God takes them out to be a witness for Christ from there to the Dead Sea. And the Jordan River, that brilliance, that brightness, flows into a world of sin to be a witness unto Christ. You that were one time thirsty for righteousness, God fills you with the Spirit so He can use you out in that world to reach one person for Christ. Nobody was saved to stay out of hell. Nobody was saved to go to heaven. You were saved to be a witness unto Christ, to reach one. One. That's your responsibility. Well, who is it? Just be filled. Because you know when you're filled, you're led of the Holy Ghost. When you're empty, you do as you please. Oh, I can tell right away. I ought to say this, but I'm not. I'm going to be sweet. See, I may not get back up here again for a long time after somebody gets done talking to Frank, so I'll just enjoy it right now. Did you know there's no attraction to what I seen when I was over there that first time to compare with the living fountains of the gospel? For in each falling drop, it's like the dew that comes from heaven. Each falling drop from the Bible is the glory of heaven to be seen in your soul. God sent His Son. They wrote a song about that. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. And He said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and I'm Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I want to ask you something. Is it you? This morning, is He wanting to give you a drink from the fountain? Number two, water typifies the word by its advantage. You have no advantage apart from the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is an attraction. I don't say this bragging, but when He wakes me up, whether it's 4:30, 5, 5:30 in the morning, doesn't matter to me. I get up and I put on my coffee pot and I pray and I get in the Word of God. And I'll study. Sometimes I look at my watch and it's 12 and I thought, well, my stomach said I was hungry, but I didn't think it was that late. Oh, there's an attraction to the Word, but there's an advantage. I want that advantage. How different do you feel after you get a glass of cool water? And after you've plunged into that cool, refreshing drink. Yesterday out at Coach's, we had a Sunday school party, and Will and Angie brought their crew. Now, the boy is just like his daddy. The girl's like mama. So, Coach said, that stream is cold water. Cool water. Didn't bother that boy. When we got on the little buggy to ride back across the road to the house, he was wet from the waist down. He done sit down in that cool, clear water. I looked at him and I thought about the Word of God. Ain't nothing like just getting by yourself and just sitting down in that stream. A stream is designed to wash something downstream. Are you listening to me? That little fella sat down in that water. Oh, that tickled me to death, Will, when I was looking at him. Hey, I'm freezing to death on that straw going back across the road. I mean, wind is blowing. I wasn't freezing to death. That's cool. It didn't bother him. He's mad and upset because they took him out of the cool running water. If you got a temper, you want to get it cooled off, get in the Word of God. If you get upset so easy, if you get offended so quickly, you know what your problem is? When's the last time you've been in the Bible? You love the Word of God, nothing shall offend you. You better not look at me like that, you'll give yourself away. Oh, I'll tell you something, there's an advantage. On a hot summer day, I remember as a little old boy, my goodness, it wasn't nothing like taking off them overalls and just butt naked. Hit that creek. And you've never been in swimming if you hadn't went in the nude. I'm not talking about going to the beach. I'm talking about when you're a little old fella, man, jumping in that water and cooling yourself off. But there is a better refreshment even than that. You know what it is, Brother Marty? Yeah. You see, there was a time when I was hounded. I'm talking about hounded by conviction. Mount Sinai thundered down to Marty Few. I stood in front of a justice in Massachusetts. I had been on the chain gang. I had been in jails. I was in prison. And I'm standing before that grand jury and that judge, figuring I was going to face at least 5 years in state prison and then be discharged with a dishonorable discharge. And I stood in front of the bar of justice, and that judge looked down on me, and there stood my mother and dad. They drove all the way from Greenville, South Carolina up there. And unbeknown to me, they had made restitution for what I had done. Mount Sinai was crying out to me, guilty, guilty, guilty. And I had no thirst for righteousness. All I wanted to do was live, live, live. Sin, sin, sin. I could care less. I was raised in church all my life, but the Holy Ghost hadn't dealt with me yet. And Mom and Daddy made restitution, and that judge says, boy, I'm standing there with my uniform on at attention. He said, boy, you need to thank God for your mother and daddy. My mom and daddy borrowed the money from the bank. Got a bus. My daddy didn't even drive a car. Got a bus and rode a trailways bus from Greenville, South Carolina to a particular town in Massachusetts, knowing I was going to stand before grand jury. And he said, son, I don't want to see you in this courtroom again. And it's not dawning on me, folks, what's going on yet. I don't see you here again. You was guilty. But somebody made restitution for you, and you're free to go. I was a cocky little old rascal. I walked out there, it didn't dawn on me. But January the 19th, 1969, at the bar of justice in heaven, Mount Sinai's commandments screamed inside my soul, "You're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty." And I had nothing, I had nobody to stand for me. And oh, I want to tell you something, friend. In my thirst, I cried out to a holy and a righteous God. And mercy said, "Come, come, come." And the God of heaven said, "Marty Few, you're free to go. Somebody's made restitution for you." And I looked over at my lawyer, Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and man, had stood in for me and said, "I'll take his sin upon him. I'll take his sin. I'll take it. I'll take it. And I'll give him in turn my righteousness." I walked out of that courtroom January the 19th, 1969, for the first time in my life. The burden of sin was rolled away. Slim, I was free. I had been set free. Oh, from that day on, I became thirsty for the living waters. "Come and hear ye what he hath done for my soul. Come and hear ye what he has done for my soul." What has he done for your soul? When did he set you free? Then I close with the third one. Water typifies the word because of its abundance. Not only its attraction, thank God for that, and its advantage, but its abundance. "Whosoever will, let him come, drink the water of life freely. This glorious gospel is enough for one, and it's enough for all." In 1986, there was a water shortage. We were leaving home in Louisiana and moving to Wilmington, North Carolina. We had everything we owned in a U-Haul truck and had the car pulling behind. And we got to Augusta, Georgia, weary and tired. And May and I and the children, we pulled over to stop and relax for a minute and eat a little bite. And I looked over there and there were trailers, numbers of trailers loaded down with straw. But I found out it was hay. There's a difference in straw and hay. And I found out that those men had come down from up north somewhere with trailer after trailer load of hay and supplies for the cattle in that area of the country because the pastures were dry. Bleak. Rephidim. Aren't you glad there was somebody from a far country that came one day because your pasture was dry? It was bleak. You had become so thirsty. There's a lot of things in life I may forget, but I'll never forget January the 19th, 1969, at about 9:15, when the God of glory visited my soul and poured inside my being living water. And it's been springing up and springing up and springing up. Glory be to God. There is a fountain filled with blood. And that fountain came from Emmanuel. And it's enough for all the armies of the earth and all the peoples that have ever lived on this earth. And God said, "Whosoever will, let him come." You can't drink it dry. tried. Men have been drinking from this well for ages, and it's still not dry. Are you thirsty? While Brother Keith is coming and the musicians, I want to ask you a personal question this morning. Are you thirsty? And then I want to ask you a second question. Why aren't you thirsty? Three people last Sunday morning. Three people, best I remember, were around this altar. You say, "Well, Brother Martin, what are you implying?" There has to be a time when you get thirsty. So thirsty that you can't take it any longer. I've got to have a drink. An alcoholic has to have a drink. A dope addict has got to have a shot. A sinner has got to sin. A thirsty person has got to have a drink. Are you thirsty this morning? I'd like for you to stand to your feet and bow your heads for just a moment. Ain't no doubt in my mind. I tell you why there's no doubt in my mind. The Holy Ghost has already shown me. There's somebody here this morning. You need some help spiritually. Only God can give you that drink. Only God can do it. Nobody else can help you. Did you know when Brother Frank bows at the altar dealing with someone, Brother Frank's not the one that's doing any help. It's the Holy Ghost. But he's pastor. And sometimes it seems like that might give a little relief to the person that's down there, and they don't know what to do, and sometimes they motion for the pastor to come. But my friend, let me tell you something. The one that gave us the word, the Holy Ghost, can deal with us at the altar. While heads are bowed, I want to ask you a personal question. Would you just raise your hand? Say, "Preacher Marty, you don't know me, but I'm thirsty. Honest. You don't know what I'm going through in my life. You don't know where I'm at right now. But I need some help. I need some help. I need God to do something for me." Would you raise your hand toward heaven? It doesn't matter whether I see it or not. I'm just asking you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Oh, I need some help. God bless you. God bless you. I need some help. I'm thirsty. Have you ever watched somebody dying? Over 49 years in the ministry, I've been to the hospital room many, many a time. And I've watched that soul laying there on that bed. And I'm so helpless. And I've seen them reach up with their feeble little old hands. "Help me. Help me. I'm thirsty. I'm dying. I gotta have help. Would you help me?" And I couldn't do nothing. Oh, sure, I reached forth my hand, but I couldn't do nothing to help them. I watched them die and go out without Jesus Christ. I watched some go out with Jesus Christ. But there's a number of hands went up this morning, and you signify by that uplifted hand. Hey, let's don't get used to getting out of here at a certain time. That's what's wrong. Let's do business with God this morning. Step out from that pew right now while they're playing softly. Come by out this altar and do business with the Lord. I'm thirsty. Oh, Brother Marty, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit if you hunger and you thirst after righteousness. You shall be filled. That's a promise. Would you come? Would you? Who'll be first? Come on. Come on. They're playing. Numbers of hands went up. I need help. All right, you can get that help at the footstool. Would you come? Father, would you take over during this time? God, it's an important time. It's a time when the devil will park himself right by the soul of an individual that realizes they need some spiritual help from the Lord. And yet he'll say, oh, you don't want to go down there. You just tell them you ain't right with God and talk them out of it. But oh, blessed Holy Ghost of God, would you take over this morning and would you draw them? And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Christ's name. Amen and amen, brothers.